Welcome back to our Sabbath School lesson this quarter. I'm so glad you've joined us. We're on lesson 10. The quarter is speeding by, and the title of our lesson is Satan's Final Deceptions. I well remember that morning in Chicago, waking up to the news reports that deaths had occurred after taking cyanide-laced capsules that were designed to reduce fever. These Tylenol capsules had been tampered with, and people took them in all good conscience, thinking that it would reduce fever, thinking that they could get well if they took the Tylenol capsules, and they ended up dying. It was a tragedy. What had happened? We still don't finally know till this day who did it, why they did it. But this we do know. The people who took the Tylenol were unsuspecting. They were innocent. They thought that they were taking a pill that was going to help them. But somebody had tampered with it. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 14, verse 12, there is a way that seems right to the man or the woman, but the end is the way of death. It is possible that somebody has poisoned the well, the water springs of life. It's possible that somebody has tampered with the divine truths of God, changing those truths, and that Satan has a final deception. Now, let me be clear. Nobody can change the truths of God. They can attempt to change those truths, but truth is eternal. God's word lasts forever. The Bible says in Isaiah 40, verse 8, the flower fades. Let's look at it together. Isaiah 40, amazing passage. Scripture tells us that the word of God is solid. The word of God is secure. Verse 7, Isaiah 40, verse 7 will give us the introduction. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever. There's an eternal permanence in God's word. But Babylon, false religion that we've been studying about last week, passes around her wine cup of false doctrine to intoxicate people in error. Now, we noted last week that Babylon represented false religion. It represented apostasy, represented drifting away from the true God. And as we studied last week, Babylon is a man-made religion based on human works and attempts to appease God with human righteousness, rather than accepting Christ and Jesus Christ and his matchless charms and his wonderful love as our sole source of righteousness. See, there's nothing that you and I can do to save ourselves. We can only be saved through Jesus. And his love and grace forgives us. His love and grace grants to us power, changes our lives. We studied that last week. We also noticed last week that Babylon was the center of idolatry. It was the center of the worship of idols. Images flooded into the Christian church. And we see this happened in the early centuries in the Roman church in an attempt to appease the pagans who were already worshiping images. The church often renamed those images after the saints, and as the pagans came into the church, half converted or not converted at all, they brought with them their pagan practices, like image worship. But today, we look at a few other characteristics of ancient Babylon. One of those characteristics of ancient Babylon, as I pointed out in the lesson for Monday in the quarterly, was the idea of the immortality of the soul. Now, Satan is going to use spiritualism to deceive multitudes in the last days. Revelation chapter 16, for example, verse 13 and 14. One of the things that I want you to emphasize if you are a teacher in the lesson is the fact that we cannot trust miracles, signs, and wonders alone if they're not in harmony with the Word of God. Merely because there is a sign or wonder worked does not verify that as the truth of God's, as true. Not at all, because the devil can work miracles. The only miracles we want to accept are those that are in harmony with the Word of God and are leading us back to the Word, back to obedience and faithfulness to the Word. Look, Revelation 16, verse 13, puts it this way. It says, "They are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go out to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to lead them to the battle of that great day of Armageddon." They're the spirits of what? Demons. And what are they doing? They're working what? Miracles. We see the same thing in Revelation chapter 18. And we look at Revelation 18, and we're looking down there at verse 23. "And the light of the lamp shall not shine in you anymore." That's speaking about Babylon. What's the light of the lamp? David said in Psalms 119, verse 105, "Thy word is a what? Lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." So when it talks about the light of the lamp, it's talking about the light of God's word. Babylon has turned its back on it. Babylon has rejected it. "It shall not shine in you anymore. And the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall not be heard in you anymore. For your merchants were the great men of the earth, for by your sorcery all nations were deceived." By your what? By your sorcery. So how does Satan deceive the nations? By sorcery. Now that can happen in a number of ways. Remember in the Garden of Eden, Eve was tempted by Satan, and he said to her, "You shall not surely die." She said to the serpent, "If I take the fruit, God said, you'll surely die." Satan told the first lie, and he said, "You shall not surely die." In other words, you have natural immortality. You can sin and live on. The idea of the immortal soul comes through Greek philosophy. It comes through Socrates and Plato. And the idea was that the soul could leave the body at death and that the soul could be freed from the prison of the body. The Bible does not teach that at all. In 1,800 places, the Bible in the King James Version talks about the word soul or its equivalent. Never once does it say immortal soul. In fact, the Bible says, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 16, says only God has immortality. So the devil tries to deceive us through masquerading as dead loved ones. He tries to deceive us as through false miracles, through spiritualism, through things like the Ouija board, through things like apparitions, fortune tellers. And have you noticed the large amount of Hollywood productions that have some kind of spiritualistic theme? The large amount of YouTube videos that have a spiritualistic theme, or books that have a spiritualistic theme, or TV productions. This is no accident. Babylon, false religion that does not understand Ecclesiastes 9:5, the dead know not anything. The living know that they shall die, but the dead don't know anything. Here, very clearly in Scripture, the Bible points out that death is but a sleep. 53 times, John 11, Jesus said, "Our friend Lazarus, who had died, is sleeping." So then his disciples didn't understand, and Jesus clearly said, "Lazarus is dead." So Jesus equates death with sleep. We see that throughout the Bible. Death is a rest until the resurrection. Death is a rest until Christ returns. And as he does, the dead in Christ rise first. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17 says, "The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." If the dead went immediately to heaven, why would you need this glorious resurrection? The whole Bible points to this idea of the resurrection. So Satan has introduced a lie through Babylon. One of Babylon's lies is the immortality of the soul. Now there's another one, and we bring that out very clearly in Tuesday's lesson. Babylon was the center of sun worship. The ancient Babylonians worshiped the sun. In Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 16, the Bible talks about Israelites who turned their backs to the temple of the Lord and worshiped the sun toward the east. And so the prophets of God, Ezekiel, condemned this sun worship. You had sun worship in ancient Egypt with Amun-Ra, the sun god, sun worship in Babylon with Bel-Marduk, sun worship in Persia with Mithraism, and sun worship in ancient Rome with Sola Invictus. So you had sun worship and Babylon. What does Babylon represent in Revelation? Babylon, mystery, the mother of harlots, apostate religion, a man-made religion that emphasizes human works, not the righteousness of Christ. A religion that focuses on the worship through images, a worship that fails to understand the immortality of the soul, and the devil deceives through sorcery and spiritualism, a worship based on sun worship or Sunday worship. Here, I've put down in the bottom of your lesson two on Tuesday, I've said it was in succeeding decades that emperors and popes continued through state decrees and church councils to establish Sunday as the singular day of worship, which it remains today as well for the majority of Christians. What a powerful example of the hard truth that just because the majority of people believe in something or practice it doesn't make it right. So Sunday worship came into the church gradually over the centuries, largely to disassociate Christianity from the Jews, and secondly, to try to bring the empire together and unite sun worshipers from paganism with Sunday worshipers in the church. And all this was done in contradistinction to the truth of worshiping the Creator on the Bible Sabbath. God is giving us a powerful call to faithfulness. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 20, verse 20, the Bible says that the Sabbath is a sign between God and His people. So the Sabbath is a sign of allegiance. It's a sign of loyalty to God. And God calls us from Babylon. Revelation chapter 18, verse 4 and 5. We find it here, Revelation 18, verse 4, verse 5. It puts it this way. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins. What is sin? 1 John 3, verse 4. Sin is the transgression of the law. And lest you receive of her plagues. So in other words, this is an appeal by Christ to come out of every law-breaking church. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. So here is a final appeal. Babylon is fallen, come out of her, my people. So the great appeal of this lesson this week is to live lives of godly obedience, lives that are totally committed to Christ, lives that turn our backs on the falsity and the errors and the apostasy of Babylon. To make Christ the center of our lives, the center of our actions, the center of our beliefs, the center of our teachings, and so that Christ Himself is exalted. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for Jesus. We thank you that although deception is all around us, we need not be deceived. We're so thankful that Christ is our Lord, and that we can trust Him day by day and moment by moment. Fill us with your love, your grace, and your goodness. Enable us to be faithful to you until you come again to take us home. In Christ's name, amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.